Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word tonight, God. Jesus, we ask you, Lord, to just help us, Lord God, to heed the words of the Lord that are sent to us, God, and follow the man that is you've put before us, God, and spoken into our lives, God. And we're asking you, Jesus, just to help us to understand, Lord, your prophets and understand them, Lord God, and not want to do harm to them and not want to speak evil of them, Lord God, but what they've spoken to us, believe that is from you, God, and put it to practice in our lives. We thank you for your word, that you love us, that you send men to speak to us, Lord, when we're not where you want us to be, God. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. We love you. Bless your people tonight. In Jesus' name, God bless you. You may be seated. Don't kill the prophet. Just obey what he says. Prophets are for us hard to understand and can be difficult at times to accept. But I want to talk about the prophet tonight a little bit. What does the word prophet mean? It doesn't actually specifically mean predicting. We always want to think of a prophet as someone that speaking about the future, predicting what's going to happen in our future. That's not always the case. The future, it doesn't always mean predicting this, the future, but it comes from the Hebrew word nabii, and it means a spokesman or a speaker. It, in the Greek, the word for prophet is prophetis, and it means several things. It is forth or pro-telling or teaching. Fitis and an interpreter or an oracle of God, or when God's spirit solemnly declares to men what he has received by inspiration, especially concerning future events. And he either speaks them or he writes them down. In our cases, mostly it's spoken. Spoken words from a man of God, a prophet. In Deuteronomy 18, in verse 19. It says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." So God is telling the people, I've sent somebody to you to speak to you of what I'm trying to say to the people. And if you will not hear it, then I will deal with you. I will come and take care and judge. Sin is a big part of not following the prophet the way the prophet is speaking to us. That's why God sometimes has to send a man, because sin is not being dealt with in the people. And he wants to clear it up and get it out of the way so that God's people can do the work that he has sent them to do. God will do what his messengers have spoken. Amen. You can bank on it. Amen. If the man of God has spoken something and you have not heeded or obeyed what he has spoken, I'm here to tell you that judgment is coming. Amen. And God will do what the word was said that he will do. In the biblical prophets spoken the truth which came from God. They were under the unction of the Holy Ghost. And God spoke to them and told them things to go tell the people. And their unique vocation allowed them to be authoritatively to speak God's word on behalf of God. And they never spoke on their own authority, or did they share their own opinions. They only shared the message as God instructed them. Their role was to make God's will known, as well as His holiness, and to instruct God's people to reject idolatry and sin. God uses these men, and He sends them to the people, because sin has overtaken people's lives, and they want to hide it. They want to make it look like it, that nothing is wrong. Just everything is going on just right. And just keep on living life and pretending that God is in control of your life, when you know that you haven't followed the voice of the man that God has sent to you. Sin is always the issue that causes a man to reject the spoken word of God. Amen. If you find yourself questioning and wondering, was that really God? I'm here to tell you, you've got sin in the camp. And if you don't get that sin dealt with, judgment, like the man of God has spoken, is coming. Amen. God will clean up the camp. Amen. In 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21, it says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. We follow those same scriptures. Amen. We believe this word of God is from God, and that it is given to us. It is God breathed and God inspired, and holy men wrote those words. Amen. But in this day as well, God has men of God and prophets. Amen. That will come to us and that will speak to us and that will proclaim the word of the Lord that God has given them. Amen. And that if we don't hear and obey, He will bring judgment. Prophets speak what God tells them to speak. Amen? And when you reject a prophet, you're not just rejecting a man. You aren't just rejecting a man. You're rejecting God. Amen? Directly. Ever heard of the saying, don't kill the messenger? Don't kill the messenger. I'm just the messenger. You know? That's all the prophet is when he's standing here in this local assembly. And we pray and we're asking God for things in our lives, and we're wanting God to speak to each one of us individually. Amen. He is the messenger that God has sent. Amen. The Bible says that the steps of the righteous man are ordered of God. Amen. And God's economy, God is not making mistakes. Amen. He has sent men for such a time as this. Amen. God's trying to get our attention. And through this man that we just brought, Brother Hurt, I have felt strongly to bring him to this place. Amen. I didn't make the phone call. I hadn't done it yet. But God spoke to him, and Brother Hurt called me, and I said, yes, It is time, amen, that you come and speak on behalf of this church, and that you fix what is seemingly blocking the move of the Holy Ghost in our midst. Amen. I believe strongly in the prophetic ministry of the man of God. Amen. God used these men to give direction to Israel on manners concerning battles. He used them to give instructions on how to go into the battle. And not only how to go into the battle, but what to do after the battle. We ought to be thankful for a God that will speak to us and give us direction and give us clear vision of our futures. Amen. That He wants you to have the best in life. Amen. He wants to direct you. He wants to help you, us as a body, to be able to fight. Believe it or not, we are warriors. Amen. We are fighting a battle. This is not a country club. Amen. If you think you just come just to have fellowship and friendship and all of that, I'm sorry to tell you tonight that you are in an army, and that you should and ought to be soldiers and generals and all those things that pertain to militant action. And we ought to be about doing the work of the kingdom of God. We're in a fight. Amen. A battle that our enemy just never gives up on. Amen. They're always out there lurking and waiting for us to let down our armor, let down our guard, let down the things that are meaningful in the battle. And that's when they strike. It was only those that would allow, that would follow the exact word of the prophet, that would get the victory. God spoke to him and he said, do certain things. I'm not going to go into all the battles of and things that the prophet spoke, because there's so many. God used them throughout the book of the Old Testament of how to guide the children of Israel and win the battles that God sent them through. But we know a lot of those things. Amen. And we're aware of them. And we understand that if they followed God to the letter of what the prophet had spoken to them, then God defeated the enemy most of the time without them having to raise a sword. God took care of it. Brother Pritt? Right. Such an important concept tonight, that we don't kill the prophet, that we just obey what he says, knowing that it's not something he just dreamed up in his mind before he came to service and spoke it to you, but knowing that God had given him a direct word for your life, for this church, for our situation, for what he wants you to do concerning whatever issue you are facing. And if we will follow that, and we will obey it, and we will hear the voice of God and do the things that God has called us to do, God says he will heal us, he will touch us, he will bless, He will give great things. Amen. He's got great things in store. But he can't do it until sin has been dealt with. Disobedience has been dealt with. Amen. What God is trying to do is say, hey, church, I care about you. Amen. I care about my children, so I don't allow them to do things that I know is going to bring havoc in their life down the road. Amen. I cared about them, so I used the rod on them. Amen. I care about them. I wouldn't allow them to say and do things to me that would cause them to disrespect someone else down the road. I taught them. I taught them how to love and be patient and know to do what's right. Amen. Why? Because I love them. Followed the word of God. And God has given me great children. Amen. That love God and serve the Lord today and give their hearts and minds to God, doing the work of the Lord. Amen. Why? Because he loves us. That's what God's looking for here. He's looking for a relationship, but he says, I can't allow me to come to you and do what you're wanting me to do until we get a little problem out of the way. Amen. I've got an issue. I sent a man to you. I've sent a messenger to you. I sent someone to you to speak words of life to you. But you've killed the prophet. And you've slain, and you've talked about him, and you've said about his words, and you said that this man is not from God, and you've brought accusations upon him, and God is not pleased. He wants us to have our hearts right and know that it was from him, that message. Don't kill the messenger. Amen. You cannot blatantly disregard the words that a man of God has spoken over you and expect the victory to come. It's not going to happen. You want healing in your life? You want deliverance in your life? You want what God wants for your future to come to pass? Then you've got to follow the instructions that were given. James 1:12 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. We must obey and get what's displeasing to God out. Amen. Because God wants us to have victory. God wants us to have healing. God wants us to have all the pleasures that he has for us. Amen. And he's sending forth men to speak and help us to get the victory, to get to the revival that this church is longing for. Amen. To get to the loved ones being saved in our lives. Amen. To get to seeing these seats filled with sinners lost and looking for a God that can save them. Amen. That takes a body that together has cleansed their lives of all things that are not of God and walk in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Many in the days of the prophets were angered at what the prophet's word was to them. They were upset and didn't like to hear it. Maybe it was the delivery. Maybe it was how he performed and said what he said and embarrassed people by how he brought it to them. Many prophets were killed because they foretold of God's displeasure with the sin that was in the people's lives. Judgment still came, just as the man that delivered the message said it would. I'm here to tell you tonight, God is looking, and he has sent the man of God to speak over your life for a purpose. It's not to hurt you. It's not to harm you. But it's for your good. Amen. It's for the body of Christ's good. Amen. God would not allow the children of Israel to win the battle when Achan, one man, one lone ranger, decided to disobey the Lord. And he went out and hid just a few things, a few articles of clothing in, under his tent. And God, many families were there, lost their fathers in the battle because someone chose to hide out what God had spoken not to do. 2 Chronicles 36:16. It says, but they mocked the messenger of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people until there was no remedy. Lord, help us not to get into that arena, that we can follow and obey and understand that God cares. Amen. That God's not here as a just a big bully and saying you're going to get it. No, he's trying to get our attention. He wants your healing. He wants to see you walk free from the disease in your life. He wants to see you have that job situation, that blessing in your family, that situation in your home, that move of the Holy Ghost that he's planning for this body, this church. Amen. God is wanting this to happen. Amen. But he cannot allow it if rebellion and things of that are not of God are prevalent in the church. He sends the messenger to rebuke. Leviticus 26:31. It says, and I will make your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation, and will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. God will get the last word. Amen. You may think you are right and continue on in your sin, but God will judge. Amen. You will stop the flow of God's presence from doing its perfect work. God wants to do great and mighty things. Amen. Sweet aroma rises in our worship and our praise. But God says, I won't even smell it. You can do everything right. You can have it down to a T and practice well and do it right. But if someone is disobedient to the man of God that I've sent to them, I'm not even going to smell that aroma. And I won't do. I will let the cities lay waste. But God is saying, friend, just follow me. Just obey. Don't kill the man that I've sent you. Great example of this is in 2 Kings 5, beginning in verse 1. It says, now Naaman, the captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master. He was honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. And he was also a mighty man of valor. But he was a leper And in verse 2, it says, and Assyria came, the Syrians, God had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his lord, saying thus and thus, and said, the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel. So there was a great entourage that came with Naaman to Israel. He was a famous man. He was like this Iranian that just got killed. He was a soldier, and he had great popularity. He was like second in command almost to the king of Syria at the time. So when he came, even though he was in a very horrible state in his life, the king sent all these gifts with him. And so he needed a great number of people to carry those gifts and carry all those things, and just for his protection. So there was a crowd of people that rode with him. Just to try to give you a picture of what's going on here, of how prestige this guy was. And he was coming to get healed of his leprosy by the prophet. In verse 6, and he says, and he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, and thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. So all of a sudden the king thinks, oh my gosh, he wants me to do it. Who does he think I am? I'm no God. I'm not. And it came to pass that when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill or to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. Thought he was in trouble again. It was gonna, you know, if he can't do this, we're gonna have war again. He wasn't looking forward to it. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses, with his chariots, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. So here we have this great prestigious man with all of his entourage. Amen. His limousines all lined up, and they're in front of Elisha, the prophet's house. Naaman was expecting something powerful from God to happen. From this prophet of God, he was expecting some lightning maybe to come out of heaven and just to come down and heal him and give him what he wanted, and so that he could walk out of there and everybody would be like, woo, this was a great thing. But Naaman was... in verse 10, so, and Elijah sent a messenger unto him. The man of God, the prophet that God had given to speak the word, wouldn't give him the time of day to walk out of his house. This elegant man from another country this second, almost in command to the king. Wouldn't even honor him enough to walk out of his house and greet him. Sent the messenger out to tell him what to do. And he says, if you do this, go wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Simple instruction. But it was not what Naaman wanted to hear. It was not the show that Naaman had wanted. He was very wroth. He was offended at how the prophet had spoken to him. He was not happy about him not respecting him enough to come out and even talk to him. We get offended when the man of God says, please stand up. Stand up. And the man of God begins to speak the word that God has given him over your life. And he begins to tell you, thank you. We get offended. We take offense because how dare he not do it the way I wanted it done. I wanted God to speak. Lightning come out of heaven and great things happen so that my healing or my deliverance or whatever it is that I'm seeking God for. And so because of the delivery, we get offended. But the word has not changed in either situation. This man was expecting great things. The prophet to come out, stick his rod up toward the heavens and speak over this leprosy, and boom, fire fall, and it consumed the leprosy on this man, and it be delivered. Amen. But Naaman was wroth, and he went away. He just got on his got his crowd and said, "Come on, let's get out of here." And they flew off and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leprosy." Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? God has asked us to repent of some things. But maybe we don't want to. Isn't this a better way that I can just go do, just keep doing good and showing up for church and just, you know, paying my tithes? Isn't that good enough? Aren't these rivers good enough to do that in? God has a way. And whatever God speaks, that is what we must do. Amen. Go wash. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do something great, some big great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then with when he saith to thee, wash and be clean?" Not very hard, is it? Simple instruction. Maybe not the best presentation that we were looking for, but it's a simple command from God. The command is from God, and God is saying, "Do you want what I have for you? If you can obey, I will come and I will deliver, and I will heal, and I will set free, and I will do what I say I'm going to do." And then he went, verse 14, then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. And he was cleansed. He was clean. And he returned to the man of God. And he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, behold, I know now that there is a God in the earth. But in Israel now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will not receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given thy servant 2 mules, burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offerings nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. It is this thing the Lord pardon thy servant. And when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, that the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, go in peace. So he departed from him and a little way. The whole point of this example is that the man wasn't happy with how the prophet presented the word of God. And he began to reject and was going to go back home without his healing, without his deliverance. My friend, Jesus Christ one day mustered up all the saliva he could in his mouth. Spit on the ground and rubbed it down into the mud. Got a little paste. There was a blind man that was seeking a miracle. That blind man was so hungry for that miracle, he didn't care how the delivery came. All he wanted was his healing. And it didn't matter if any of us here today, if a man of God stood here and hawkered up a big old spitball and came and wiped it on you for God to do a miracle, we would walk out of this place offended. But what's more important to us? What God wants to do in our lives, or how the man of God presents it to us? I want what God. I want the blessings of God to flow. I want miracles to happen. I want you to be delivered of your whatever. Amen. So help us tonight. Help yourself tonight. Help this church. God wants to move among us. Don't kill the prophet that God has sent. Amen. God wants to deliver you. Just do what he's asked you to do. Amen. If God has spoken some things to you, go back and visit them again. And go back and say, well, have I obeyed? Have I followed those things? Have I done the will of God that he is speaking to us to do? And if you will do those things, I promise you, God will hold back judgment and he will heal your land. Amen. He will set you free. He will give revival to this local church. Amen. God will show up and do great things. Amen. He didn't send the man for nothing. Amen. He wanted to see the miracles happen in your life. Praise God. Let's stand tonight. Let's just lift our hands to God and let's just thank him for the man of God in our life, that he has spoken to us the word of the Lord, and that he has given us the direction of our lives so that we can have the victory. Amen. And that we can follow and do the things that God has called us to do. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us, Lord God, to get bitterness out of our lives, Lord Jesus, to get things of unforgiveness out of our lives, Lord Jesus. Lord, help us, Lord God, to fix the wrongs, Lord God, that have been pointed out in our hearts, Lord God. And help us, Lord, to have victory in the Holy Ghost, Jesus. Lord, that your Shekinah power will fall when we pray. Lord, that you'll hear us, Lord God, when we sing unto you, Lord God, and we bring up aromas before you in our worship. God, that you will smell that, God, and you will be pleased. Lord, we want you more than anything, God. Help us, Lord Jesus, to recommit our lives to this gospel, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord God, to get a vision of souls, of people that are lost, God, and dying without you. Help us, Lord, not to keep a hold of petty things in our life that offend us, Lord God, but walk in the power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost, Jesus. We love you. Keep speaking to us, Lord. Keep drawing us closer to you, Jesus. Let your glory, oh Lord God, touch our lives, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. I pray that you just don't turn this off after you leave here. Amen. But you take this home and you meditate on it and you ask the Lord God to search your heart. Amen. Search and search the things that the man of God has spoken to you in the past and make sure that you've done those things. Amen. Because God wants this church to move up higher. Amen. We're at a pinnacle of revival. Amen. A powerful move of God breaking out in this area. But God's got a little few things that he's held up on. And he's saying, church, just do a little bit of adjusting and I'm ready to pour out a blessing that you cannot contain. Amen. Hallelujah.